Today, we will read Mark chapter 14, verses 54 through 72. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts to see your word and understand it. Lord, help us understand how it applies to our lives. Help us to understand what you would have us do based on what we see. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 14, verses 54 through 72. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus, so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another, not made with hands.' Yet, even then, their testimony did not agree." Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, and coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, "Prophesy!" The guards took him and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them. You are a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. All right. In today's reading, we see the beginning of the trial of Jesus. He is taken late at night, and they begin to have a trial. Many people come forward, but the interesting thing is they find nothing. They have many people come and lie, give false testimony, but they can't coordinate their lies. They cannot get their lies to agree together. And so this person is saying, oh, he did this, he should die. This one is saying, no, he did this. But none of them are agreeing enough to convict him. There's not enough evidence, or the evidence is clearly not true. They know that they can't convict him. What's interesting is that throughout the trial, Jesus keeps silent. Even though they are lying about him, even though they are saying all kinds of things about him, he stays silent. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't argue with them. He just waits. And what's interesting is that this actually fulfills a prophecy. Hundreds of years before Jesus was even born, the prophet Isaiah wrote about what the Messiah, the promised one, would be like. He wrote about what Jesus would do. In Isaiah 53, we read this. Listen. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Isaiah 53 is a powerful picture and a powerful prophecy, saying that he would be pierced, poked, and his body would be, that they would stick things through him, that he would be beaten, that he would be crushed, and that he would be punished because of our iniquities, our sins, our transgressions. Iniquities and transgressions mean sin. And so Jesus was punished for our sins. But even in Isaiah 53, before Jesus was even born, they knew that he would do this. He would be silent. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He willingly gave himself to take the punishment for our sins. That is what this is about. He could have defended himself. He could have spoken and done things to show who he really was. But he didn't, because he knew that God had sent him for this purpose. That God had sent him to die. Why? Because at the very beginning of the world, the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve, they sinned and they disobeyed God. As punishment, they were separated from God and condemned to death. The punishment for sin is death. And Adam and Eve's children also sinned, and their children sinned. In fact, every single human being that has ever lived has committed sin. Every person has done something that separates them from God. And so all of us are worthy of death. The punishment for our sin, for my sin, is death. And Jesus came to take that punishment in my place. He was my sacrifice so that I do not have to die. And he did it silently. He endured the pain, the beating, the mocking for me. He took that because of love for us, that he would be our punishment, that he would be our sacrifice and take our place. As all of this is going on, Peter has followed at a distance. At first, he ran away. He was afraid, but he followed. He wants to know what's going on, and so he was in the courtyard, and a servant recognized him. She was like, you were with Jesus. And he says, no. 3 times, people in that courtyard recognize him or say, you're one of them. You're one of his followers. And 3 times, he says, no, I don't know him. And after that 3rd time, the rooster crows. Now, if you remember, Jesus had told him that this would happen. Jesus had already told him before that before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And when that rooster crows, he remembers the words of Jesus. I think there are times in our lives when we are afraid, when it looks like bad things are happening, and when admitting our relationship to Jesus might be dangerous. There are times when we might be tempted to deny Jesus like Peter did. But God tells us, no, stand firm, don't be afraid. Admit, confess him as Lord, and he will confess us as his followers. We don't want to be like Peter. Now, Jesus eventually forgives him and brings him back, and Peter becomes a strong leader in the church. So that's also encouraging, that even though this is a low moment where Peter, before earlier that night, he had said, oh, Jesus, I will die for you. Now that the problem and the difficult time has come, Peter is denying that he even knows Jesus. And suddenly he is faced with that. That he thought that he would be brave and strong and that he would follow Jesus even to death. But when the first difficulty came, he denied him. And so Peter is broken over this and goes out and weeps. But again, I'm just encouraged because I've read more of the story, and I know that Jesus forgives him and brings him back. And that later in the book of Acts, after Jesus goes back to heaven, we read the story of what happens next. And Peter becomes a strong leader. He is arrested several times. Several times he is brought before the high priest and the council, and they say, deny Jesus. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that again. No, I will not deny him. You can put me in jail. You can kill me. I will not deny him again. And so, though he breaks down here, he learns, and he grows in his faith. And so that encourages me that even if I make a mistake once, God can forgive me. That doesn't mean that I want to use that as an excuse, but it's just encouraging that there is forgiveness. And that is what the death of Jesus is all about. That he died to pay the punishment for our sins so that we can be forgiven and have a right relationship with God. Lord, I want to thank you that you died for us, that you gave yourself willingly so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made right with God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that today you would help us keep you first. Help us not be ashamed of following you. Help us share that with others and tell them about who you are. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.